There's literally nothing free in this world. You're going to pay somehow, ass, cash, or grass, right?
Nobody rides for free.
Horror Movie Survival Guide is a weekly podcast where I, Gorehound Julia Marchesi, delves into my horror movie notebook to corrupt another one of my longtime chums, Terry Gamble, who is hiding in the creepy horror closet.
My mission is to learn the gospel of horror movie survival and to incorporate Julia's wealth of wisdom to become a final girl disciple.
Join us as we take a deep dive into everything from OG horror
to newly released films,
but preferably classics on VHS.
We'll talk about obscure details that no one else notices.
Spin off into alternate casting universes, crush on some dodgy, foxy fellows,
and creepy uncles, and arm ourselves with the knowledge necessary to become the final girl.
Thank goodness we watched this together, Julia, for sure. Hey, guys. Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide.
I'm Julia.
And I'm Terry.
And this week we're talking about 2007's Frontiers.
Yes. Written and... Oh.
The title of this episode is I'm Nobody's Servant. And the tagline for this movie is, what are your boundaries?
Yes. And this film has been written and directed by Xavier Jean.
Yes.
I was practicing my Francais before this call.
Just so, and yes, we will butcher it throughout this movie, I am sure. My French accent is terrible. I am sorry. But this movie is awesome. So I had seen this movie by myself when it came out in 2007 and was super, super into it. I remember vividly having this poster on my wall in my bedroom for a really long time. The roommate that I was living with at the time hated the poster and was like, can you please take it down? And I'm like, no, it's my room. Like, I'm not hanging it in the common area, but I want it in my room. And she hated it. And it's just a person covered in blood. And like, it's not that scary, I don't think, but she was not.
I'm looking at the poster now on the IMDb and it's not that bad. Or maybe I'm just a hardened bloody bitch now. And yeah. I just love it. I'm just like, yeah, she looks great. Like, that's what the girl does. When she's a final girl, she looks great covered in blood.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and this is a movie that I had been wanting to cover for the podcast for a really, really long time. But I also wanted to wait a while because it's super intense and I didn't want to like throw Terry at the deep end right off the bat. So, but she was fine. We did watch it together virtually, which helped. So we were there for each other. But she did fine. I think she was cool.
We've gone through, I think, worse things together as far as films, I think. But this one was very intense.
So we open on a sonogram. We meet Yasmin, who is our heroine, who is 3 months pregnant. And she wants to get rid of it. And she says she wants to spare her baby the worst. So you're.
Yeah, she feels like it's an alien inside, you know, like she doesn't feel like it's she doesn't feel connected to this little being.
And we really open, you know, this movie's, I think, really cool because it opens really high action and doesn't really stop. But it's like different kinds of action. So when we first start off, they're in a city that's there's riots. And so the credits is just rioting and rioting. So you're like, okay, we get the world of where we're living in, where there's no calm and everything's in chaos. So like, that's where you're starting from. How is this movie going to get crazier? And it will for sure.
100%. It's real. And it's also real. Looks like real footage. Do you know what I mean though? It doesn't look like it's like a fake thing. This is like, oh, this is real stuff happening. There's actual riots and really tough stuff happening somewhere in France. You know, and in the middle, it's like it's civil unrest basically all over the place. So whenever there's civil unrest happening, there's always going to be some people who are going to want to take advantage of the said situation and commit some real crimes maybe while people are fighting for their rights potentially. Who knows what the actual unrest was at the beginning of this thing.
Right.
But people, including Yaz and her group of friends, some thieves, some robbers decide to pull a heist.
So it seems, you know, that Yasmin's brother, Sammy is one of the gang members. And like, it seems like they're in the gang. She's the girlfriend of one of the gang members, but she's not really in the gang. So she's not been part of this heist. But now Sammy, her brother, gets shot. And now she's suddenly in the middle of all of this. So she was pregnant. She's pregnant by Alex, who is the leader of the gang, but they are not together anymore. And so there's this awkwardness. You're doing a heist in the middle of a riot where somebody's now just been shot. And it's just like, it's really not a good situation.
And it's your brother and you're pregnant and and you don't want to be, and your ex-boyfriend is not helping. And even though he's the baby daddy, so there's like, literally, could you add any more high stakes in the beginning of a thing? it's a lot. It's a lot of layers. Like, this is the first 2 minutes of the movie, you guys. So just like strap in. Holy crap. Oh, I mean, like chase scenes through this alleyways. Cops are already in pursuit. I mean, like, we're literally full tilt boogie, like Run Lola, faster than Run Lola Run, which I always feel like is like one of the fastest movies. I was like, no, this is like, imagine if you started the movie like the end, like towards the end of Run Lola Run, and then just kept going.
Yes. And it's interesting too, because at the beginning, like, this isn't really a horror film, right? Like, this is just kind of like an action crime thing in the beginning. So it's going to morph into something else, which I think is also really interesting about this film. So it's that thing of, what do you do when you have someone who's hurt, but you can't go to a hospital and tell them what's up, because then you're going to get in trouble.
Incriminate you at the hospital. Yeah.
So they end up splitting the gang, where two of the members are going to go ahead and get a hotel room, and the others are going to go to the hospital, drop Sammy off, even though they know he's on his way out, but they still want to like do what they can.
They don't actually want to do what they can, but they decide that they have to, because Yaz is not going to have it any other way. Like, I think they probably would have just left him there if they were just left, if she wasn't there.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like she really insists and they're like, no, you can't go. Like, he's going to rat us. She's like, honestly, the dude's about to die. Like, they're just like worried that his death is going to be evidence, because there's like a curfew, it looks like, because of all the riots and everything that's happening outside. So... but she insists and gets her way and gets him to a hospital. But at the hospital, things do not go very well.
No. So Sammy dies almost immediately. But before he goes, he tells her to keep her baby. And then you have all these doctors who come and get the security guard who are coming for her, because, you know, what's happened? He's been shot. They're all covered in blood. So she has to run and leave him there and run out. So she is with Alex. Tom and Farid are the ones who have driven ahead, and they are going to, so they've split up. And this is very dubious, because they're like, oh, we'll just keep the cash and give it to you later. And I'm like, no, you probably shouldn't do that. Like, when I feel like, you know, the problem is there's no honor among thieves, right? So like, you trust them until then you don't trust them anymore. Like, if I was pulling a heist, I would always insist like everybody splits the money immediately. Especially if you're going to split up. I know it takes time to count money out, whatever, yeah. But like, if you're going to split up, there's 100% these people are going to just take your money and go. Like, of course,
yeah,
they are.
And especially how they were on the run, like, and especially how mean they were to each other in that moment. It was like, oh, this is never going to go well. Like, who's actually ever going to get to see this money? Like, I don't know at this point. It was honestly like a full draw. Like, who's going to kill who? Like, something's going to go bad amongst this group. Yeah. And we even get like a little fake out moment, which I love, with Tom and Fred, yes, as they're like driving out. So it's like, calm down, because we're like out in the countryside, but you still have that element of danger. Like, they could be caught at any time. So like, you've already got that feeling of like, even though they're on this quiet now, like French countryside in this tiny little car, Tom and Fred are like, you know, he's messing with each other.
And Fred's never been out of the city before. So like, that's something like open spaces, if you've never seen it, could probably freak you out as well.
And also, there's something claustrophobic sometimes to be said about, like, even though if you're a city person, you're used to having things around you, like you said, you can still feel a kind of a sense of claustrophobia being out in the open that way. And he messes with Tom and is like, hey, I'm just going to take all the money. You have to get out of the car. And like, Josh is with him. But you feel like, even though he's joking and he says he's joking at the end, it doesn't seem like he really is. Like, he would honestly, I think, leave this guy on the side of the road and just take the money and, yeah, go to Holland like he's planning to do.
Yes. So it's that thing, you know. Yeah, really good. And so they find a hotel. They find this little hotel out in the French countryside, and they see it as they pull up. They say, eh, we'll be fine here. And you're like, no, I don't think you will. So,
famous last words. I was like, oh, this is, you're definitely not going to be fine. This is Horror Movie Survival Guide tip. When people think everything is doing great, going okay, it's not. It's about to go real bad, especially the better it seems, the worse it's about to be.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, you know, I always feel like, as a Horror Movie Survival Guide tip, my is like, first, trust your first instincts, right? And generally, you walk in, you're like, uh-uh, and you'd walk out. But actually, this place, you're like, okay, it looks kind of nice. And you have these two hot chicks who are like super, super easy in coming onto you, which that itself, of course, is a red flag. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think the hotel itself looks terrible.
It does not look good. And then the way the lady looked, though, the fact that they look like drunken prostitutes.
Yeah.
That was the red flag to me. I was like, if I go in, like, no disrespect to a prostitute, but if you look like you are on drugs to do your job and like you can't even, like, the main lady could not even stand straight. She was like a full snake the whole time. Mm-hmm. And she just kept weaving and weaving. I was like, ooh, is she trying to hypnotize you? Uh-oh. Like, no. Don't trust it. I would have gone right out the door.
Oh, but all the rooms are free, and hey, we're just like,
yeah, and nothing's free in this world. Ain't nothing free. That's the other thing. That was the other thing too. They were like, oh yeah, you can just stay. We don't charge people here. I was like, there's literally nothing free in this world. You're gonna pay somehow, ass, cash, or grass, right?
Nobody rides for free. But you have, you know, Tom, who's kind of like the horn dog, who's just like, great, this is great, let's take him back. And then you have Fried, who's like, you know what, this is, something's not right here, I'm not okay with this. And he looks really, really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So for him, it's that thing where like, he should be trusting his instincts, and he's trying to tell Tom to get out, and he's not listening. So you have him, he's kind of stuck there, which is, so he, as a final boy, he was trusting instincts, but doesn't go well, but he was trying.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. And it's so, Fried is the one who's the bad guy in this one or whatever. He's the one who's taking it, trying to get it wet with them, right?
No, Tom's the one who's trying to, who's on.
I thought Tom was the Muslim one who's like, doesn't eat the pork later.
Oh, that's Fried.
Oh my gosh. All right. I'm going to double check.
Okay.
Why are my notes different?
Well, one of us is right. One of us is wrong.
No, it doesn't matter.
So that we have this very reminiscent of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this family dinner scene where they're all eating this terrible something cooked in pork fat, some sort of mystery meat. We don't know what it is.
Oh, it looks bad.
It's just like a bowl of pork fat with some lumps in it. Looks, yeah, terrible.
It just looks like, it honestly looks like chitlins or something, or like some like intestine food. You know what I mean, though? Like, it doesn't look super appetizing.
And we have grandma, who they are kind of force feeding. It comes out of her trachea pipe. It's really gross. Terry's covering
this was
her
the
face.
Hardest scene for me. I mean, considering there's a bunch of other stuff that happens in this movie that's like, but I was just like, because, you know, it's like, this is also like the real sign that's like, oh, we've overstayed our welcome. You know what I mean, though? Like, it's like, okay.
Sexy times are sexy times, but now you want me to have dinner with your family. And it's really. And the food's terrible. And also, yeah. So that's why they're just like, okay, we're just going to go back to the room, because what are we doing here? We don't need to be here. And so they try to go back to the room. The brother, we realize there's a big family here. We have three daughters, three sons, right? And then grandma.
Yeah.
Three sons.
I think it's three, yeah, because they have the
priest.
I feel like there's another one who comes later too. Yeah. But yeah, there's
the big one. And then goats.
Gets.
There we go. Mm-hmm. So the brother, one of the brothers comes in with a gun because they know that they have money. So that the Gilbert, who was the snake-like lady, had spied. So, you know, the idea is they go into the room and see what kind of loot they got. And like, we know that you have some loot and we want your loot. And so now it's just going to be.
Should have left it in the car, but also they probably would have gone in through your car too. Like, honestly, these are the kind of people that, like, if they're saying you're going to stay for free, they're going to go, like, they're going to fleece you. Yeah. Yeah, and we see the back of their place too during this like sequence as well too, where I was like, oh, there's a pile of wallets, there's a pile of eyeglasses, there's a pile of rings, and honestly, I was like, oh, this is not great, and this also reminded me of like the Holocaust, like where they have stacks of just like people's stuff, you know, in a room after like chambers or whatever.
Yeah, it's terrible. Good. And like how many of them they have, you're like, oh, this has been going on for quite some
years.
Time.
Like decades. Years. Yeah. Because it's like kind of dusty in that room too. You're like, oh, they just have stacks of this stuff.
Yeah. So the brother, and so Gertz gets, is that right?
Yeah.
Ends up beating Tom.
It's Gertz or Gets, either way.
Gertz, beats Tom with a pipe really bad. Also shoots his fingers off. Fareed ends up stabbing the brothers with scissors, and they get into the car to drive away. They had talked about when they were about to go into the hotel, like, whoa, should we leave the money in the car? And they're like, no, bring it in with us. They're like, oh, it is. Like, if they had left the money in the car, would it have been different? No, they still would have been in the same terrible situation. They get in the car and we have a car chase. So like this movie, you don't even know which direction it's going to go in. Like, wait, we're having a car chase scene now? Like, what is happening? This is amazing.
Yeah. After like severe, like creepy looking torture and a robbery of, you know, by these surly women too. Like, let's talk about like both the women too. Yeah. There's like the older woman, Gilberta, who's like kind of just like, I imagine like if like Daryl Hannah, like French version of Daryl Hannah, you know, kind of lady, like kind of energy, just like, you know, beautiful,
beautiful
blonde.
But kind of broken down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the other girl with Claudia, who is like, I feel like she's like Emma Stone if she was like a in Les Mis kind of, like dying of tuberculosis a little bit.
Yes. So like French Emma Stone, exactly. Les Mis, Emma Stone. And so that's kind of the energy we're getting from these ladies, but she's just really like upset and kind of surly. And like you can tell, like she's the younger one's not happy in her station. Like she wants to take over. She doesn't like being told what to do anymore. So you've got this like weird dynamic between all the family too, that is like, they're not happy that they're robbing stuff together. It's almost like you went from a bad gang with the beginning group of robbers at the beginning of the film to a worse type of family gang, where the dynamic has been festering longer, and you can see the rotting kind of core around their relationships.
Right.
But they're still going to get these guys and their money and like pursue them, torture them, potentially kill them. So these guys end up on the chase and they end up going over a bridge.
Yeah, they get their car gets crunched pretty damn bad, but they're both still alive miraculously. So I was like,
how they survived that shit, I do not know. That car looked crunched.
Yeah, but they're fine. So they had text Alex and Yasmin to tell them where they were, so they had the address. So as that's happening, Alex and Yasmin show up to this inn where Gilbert says, oh, your friends left, they went to a hostel, I'll just drive you down the road to this hostel where your friends are. And they both look suspicious. So like they know something's up, but then what else are you really going to do? But believe,
but also and she's trying to say it's full or whatever there. And you're like, there's no cars. Like
nobody.
There's nobody out here. Really? This doesn't seem full, but they go. And also at this time too, Tom and Fried start going into this cave that's next to where the car fell into, and they're walking in. And I was like, oh no, Julia, is this like The Descent a little bit?
It starts to get very Descent, because they have a tunnel that they find where there's light at the end of it. And like, okay, well, let's crawl through here to see where we find out. And it's real bad claustrophobia Descent style, where there's the moment where like you're stuck and you can't go, and there's someone behind you. And then Fareed looks behind him and there's something with eyes that are glowing behind him. And when Tom, like the second he puts his head out into the room where the tunnel lets out, just bashed in the head, like so bad. And you're like, whoa. So the effects in this movie are just, they don't
phenomenal.
They don't cut away from anything. It's so incredibly gory and like that realistic looking gore. It's not like, you know, Dario Argento, like bright red, where you're like, it's totally fake. No, this looks dark and
this ain't gory. Art house red. This is like real house red, right? Like
torture house right? red.
Yeah. Torture house red. But yeah, oh. it's very much not that art house red. It is bonkers. And but all of a sudden when he scoots back, the one who escapes, like there's like hungry people, it looks like, down there. And I was like, oh no, this really does feel like The Descent, because those do not look like regular people anymore. They look like demon people somehow. Mm-hmm. And like you see like their eyes for a flash and you kind of see them, but you don't get a full glimpse of who they are, because they're so fast and skittery and jittery down there in the hole. And so back to the hostel, the new location. Mm-hmm. And Yasmin finds herself in a very particular type of room. And it reminded me a little bit of like, you know, the Tower of Terror, where you go in the room that has like all the like artifacts, mm-hmm. you know, and old timey stuff from like, you know, the 1920s, 30s, 40s kind of thing. And you're just like, oh, this stuff is very old. But then she starts looking more closely, like a good final girl starts at the beginning of the movie here.
Yes.
Noticing some things are a little off in this room. Like some of the stuff looks like it's from World War II, like Nazi shit. Like all over the room.
So we have a final girl who is now in a room clearly full of a psychotic family, A, and now also Nazis, B. So that's just going to get worse. So the father...
And then Alex has to pee. Yeah.
Hey, man. Happens.
Sorry.
So the father comes in, who is, you know, very, very overbearing and clearly a Nazi. You're like, oh well, sir. So we just know, you know, this family is clearly like, he escaped after World War II and just came and created his own version of whatever kind of terrible experiments they were doing to people in World War II.
He started Nazing and he just never stopped.
Yeah,
you're not gonna see the end of it. So Alex makes his way outside to the bathroom, like in the middle of like this moment too. So this is like a cut back and forth between like Yaz in this room dealing with this old crazy man and seeing that who he is and realizing like, I need to get out of this room. But Alex is over in the outdoor bathroom that is worse than a gas station or petrol station toilet. It's the most disgusting bathroom I've ever seen.
Is it as bad as the one in Trainspotting?
I think maybe like they're probably like twins. Like,
okay.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it was, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just like, it's disgusting. And he hears squealing pig sounds, though, and makes his way into the pig pen out near the outdoor bathroom and sees like some sort of butcher situation or something and realizes that one of his friends.
Yeah, that is Tom strung up and bleeding upside down and has two meat hooks in either foot. And that is what he's hanging from. And he looks 15% alive, perhaps, like not really. He's pretty far gone. He's been beaten up and stabbed and stuff.
And he sounds like his moans and groans because the way they have tortured him and sliced him and kind of diced him already too. He does sound like a pig in the pen, just squealing. He doesn't sound human anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to tell Alex, get out of here. Like, go get out of here. So once he kind of gets himself together, because he's in complete shock seeing his friend strung up like this, and he tries to get him down, but to no avail. It's just the way they have it set up. There's no way to actually pull him out of there unless you're like the people who put him in there. There's in the mechanism that he doesn't have access to. So he runs back into the house to go get Yaz, and she's like ready to get out of there too. But now it's too late because they are in this person's house, and oh no.
But Alex does have a gun because they had been in the middle of a heist before. But it all just, of course, kind of goes wrong. And Hans ends up pistol whipping Yasmin. And so she's knocked out. And then Alex and them have a struggle. And they end up losing the battle and end up chained up in a pig pen. They put a thing around their neck, a metal
collars, yeah, collar
around their neck. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they treat them like animals pretty much from the beginning, and you can see that they don't see them as human, but they also, you know, he's not valuable to them, but she's valuable to them because she is a lady, which we will find out.
Not just any type of lady. They also, you hear them talking about how they need to refresh the family blood is something they start banding about, and you're like, oh no.
When you hear that, that's never a good thing.
Yes, like, oh, they need her to be, you know, a wife.
Yes.
And basically to bear them and sire more children for this batshit family.
Yeah.
And so they find out that she will be yours one day. She will be yours. And so Yaz has got a mission now.
We also meet little Ava, who is this very kowtowed little girl. And we were talking about it during the movie. I really like this character, this actress, and she's really good, but I have no idea how old she is. Like, I know she's someone who has arrested development where she's pretending to be a child, even though she's older, but she seriously could be like 17 or she could be like 35. I can't tell. And that's kind of cool, but I'm also like, what is happening with this woman?
Yeah, it's very disconcerting. And there is something about this type of person who's been held in captivity and definitely stunted in many ways. And so we find out, as she reveals too, that she's, you know, had many children as well too. And so who knows how many. So that's why I was like, depending on how many kids she has and how old they are, we can maybe try to figure out a little bit about her age, but we also maybe not, because they could have started, you know, trying to breed with her very early on in her life. And so that gets into a whole nother mess of how gross this old Nazi is.
Farid, who is still alive and trying to get out of this mess, finds a terrible room with just like a big meat locker, basically, with people hanging in it of various states of decomposition, including some that are still alive, even though they're being hung up on meat hooks for God knows how long. Fun for all. Alex is able to amazingly break Yasmin's chain off, so she is free, but they can't get him free, you know, no matter how hard they try. So it's that thing of like, he wants her to live, but also, oh my God, now it means I'm gonna die. And it's this really horrible moment. He's just tells her to go, though.
Yeah, but he's like, I'd rather you be saved. And I mean, they do have a deep bond, and you know, she is pregnant with his child supposedly right now too, so it's like, he's, you know, gonna try any means to get her out. So underneath where their axe are, right next to the pig pen where they're chained up, there's like a big puddle of mud basically that she can dig through, and she digs and digs and digs to get herself out from underneath the fence. The iron bars.
Their cell. Yes. So Farid runs into Hans, who's one of the brothers, and they have a fight. He mallets him. Farid gets pistol whipped. And then we have this chamber that he gets stuck in that we weren't sure for a while what kind of chamber it is. Turns out it's like a steam chamber where you would basically boil someone alive with steam. Yeah. Which is
gas chamber, steam chamber. It's disgusting. And yeah, they throws him in there and he keeps ratcheting up that heat. And slowly but surely, he starts melting. Like, mm-hmm. he puts his hand to the window and all his skin comes off on the little portal of this thing.
Yeah.
And
he falls out and he's just like a big red boiled mess and still alive. His head
like balloons up too, but he is still alive, which is just like, oh my God, to be tortured like that and like literally kind of boiled alive. Oof.
Yeah, it's really terrible. But he does shoot him in the back of the neck and put him out of his misery after that, which is thank God. The rest of the family comes in to find Yasmin gone and want, of course, ask Alex where she is. He says, up your ass, you Nazi bastard. Huzzah. But that means that he gets his Achilles heel pinched with terrible pinchers in a hobbling style fun fest.
Yeah, you know, it's like they could go out and, it's like cutting what you cut weeds with or something, just a snap, snap. And he's just like, yeah, this is how we would keep, this is how we kept everybody in line back in the day. Like, literally, this guy's been, like I said, Nazi-ing since Nazi-ing. Like, he's just still doing the same stuff and hobbles him down and is misery, complete misery.
Yasmin, meanwhile, has actually got out and she is just running through fields covered in mud and hysterical. And she finds the car and gets picked up. Of course, gets.
So this is the guy from the original hotel and he was the main guy there. And she thinks she's found help, but it's not actual help. It's freaking someone part of the same damn family. Going to bring her right on home.
Yeah, bringing her right back. So poor.
Into the same pig pen, tied right back up again and thrown next to her man, Alex. And he, ugh.
Yeah, so he gets killed. Poor Alex. His last wish is to kill me. And that's what he gets. And they put him in the salting bin. So I don't really understand salting meat. I don't really understand how that works.
That's how you preserve before we had refrigerators back in the day.
But they have a big refrigerator with a bunch of bodies hanging in it. Why don't they just put
that's
it in
not
there?
A refrigerator. They're just that's just shit hanging. That wasn't even refrigerated in there. It's like that's what they do once the meat's done. Okay. And they're just hanging in there. It's like, those old-timey butchery.
Okay. Like jerky, right?
Yep, good times. And so it's just because they are off the grid clearly out there.
Yeah.
So you realize later that the things that they were probably eating are all, they look like entrails because they were, like, they eat people out there. And so they put them in there.
Humans cooked in pork fat as well. Delicious.
Yep. Combination of pigs and people. So we get her back and they shower her and hose her down like while she's shackled and manacled.
But all the ladies, they're nice to her, but they also seem to be like looking her over and, they were touching her in a way that is somewhat sensual, but also just seeing, like you're testing to see if she's good. I don't know.
Yeah, they were checking and examining her. They were doing an exam of her and making sure, like you would livestock. Do you know what I mean? Though, you would check and look like, oh, does she have any blemishes or spots? Like, we want to know if she has any problems, because obviously they have a very distinct, relationship with like disability and all that kind of stuff too. So, we learned that kind of like with Ava talking about how all the children are not quite right, and so they want to make sure that they have healthy, strong children. If there's something wrong with them, they will easily dispose of them. So they are examining her for all her perfections or imperfections, mm-hmm. and they realize that she is with child.
Yes, which they're very, very happy about. She wakes up the next morning in a chained, in a very nice looking like kid's bedroom. And Ava comes in to cut her hair because father doesn't like black hair. So as she's cutting her hair, she kind of gives her a backstory about she was taken from her parents and brought here. And she stayed because they told her that her parents would come back for her there, which was clearly a lie. And then she's like, why do you stay here? She's like, well, I'm waiting for my parents to come for me. Like, oh, honey. They're not coming for you.
Bubby, they're never coming. They killed them. They're dead. They're never coming back. But she, you know, still has that child like holding on for waiting for Godot kind of thing. Just like, I will be here. And also we find out that she's got children somewhere on that farm or hidden.
Like a mine that's underneath their farm that the children are just kind of running about eating God knows what under there.
They live down below, she says. They live down below and they're just down there. You're like, oh, God. So, yeah. So we have like, they're not descent monsters. These are her children. We realized that were scrambling down there earlier.
And there's another like family. Mm-hmm. Like a people under the stairs kind of thing where you just have like a bunch of crazy people living down there somewhere.
Yep. And so, So then we have a family dinner that we get her prepared for. So she'd cut her hair and put her in a nice white dress. Oh, yes. Nice and beautiful and ready to be presented to the big father.
And they end up, they're eating her friends right in front of her. Always fun. But she is, you know, the thing that's cool about Yasmin, she's just although she's clearly broken already, she's not giving up and tells, you know, tells the father to his face, like, I'm nobody's servant. I'm not participating. You're not going to have me, you know, I'm not going to go down without a fight, which is awesome. The dad just like, oh, okay, well, I'm just gonna force you to kiss my son now, and just like pushes them
and seals this marriage because you're gonna be married to him now, and you're gonna have his babies, and your baby is now his baby, and
So then Yasmin goes for it and puts a knife to the father's throat and is gonna kill him.
She grabs a carving knife right off the table. It is a fast move because you see her little brain like tick 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 tick. You know, it's kind of calculating this moment as he's going for it, and you see her. I mean, this woman, you gotta understand where she's at too. Like at the beginning of the day, her brother dies in the hospital and she's on the lam. The end of the beginning of this next day or whatever, because we can't even tell what time it is in this place because of the way they have the lighting and everything too. This next day, she is trying to off to be wed to a Nazi, you know, against her will with a shaved head and in a white dress. Like, what a journey she has gone on so far. But it's about to get crazier. This is the end of the end.
I know. That's what's so great about it. Like, as you watch the screen, I'm like, I got like 45 minutes left. Like, what's going to happen, man? There's so much to come.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't go as she thinks it's going to go, because she thinks, oh, okay, I can, you know, threaten to kill the father and everybody will kowtow. But actually, no, they don't like the father anyway. So one of the sons ends up shooting the father, which means the other son shoots the other son. And now it's just kind of chaos. And
she doesn't realize how deep the struggle for power in this household really is. And we got that kind of from the beginning with like the two women, like I was talking about too, how they were like, you know, jockeying against each other for who's in charge of that thing right there. And it's like everybody just wants control. And it's just all a matter of like who has the ultimate power in this household. And they just all want it, even though it's bullshit. Like they're in this little tiny little, you know, microcosm of the world in the countryside. No one cares out there. You know what I mean? Like there's no one out there to stop them doing these awful atrocities that they just keep getting away with. But they all want to be in charge of like Awfulville. Like,
So Yasmin's able to get away and takes the elevator down into the mine shaft and finds the body room and is just horrified and Gertz comes in. And so he's a huge dude. He looks really big and strong.
He's the bear. He's the burly bear of the group. He's like a huge butcher. He's the muscle, the big muscle of the group.
And she's pretty tiny, but still tackles the fuck out of him. And like, this is the spunk I'm talking about, man, where you're like, this guy outweighs me by like 200 pounds. This is all I got. This is what I can do.
But this is how you get, that's why she survived this long too. Cause like she could have been like ousted a while ago, but you get that she's a tough, tough, tough lady.
Mm-hmm. And in this movie also, like, it's not they don't cut away from pretty much anything. So there's a lot of like him kicking her and punching her, which is terrible. And there's a saw blade that she's about to get sawed on. But she has his axe and ends up axing him and pushing him onto the saw blade. And it's just gore coming up into her face as she's screaming and holding down this man
on a table saw.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful, beautiful moment. Honestly, the poetry of that moment, because when you saw the saw blade like go, you're like, oh, we're about to see this saw blade go. Okay. Yes. Thank you for showing us Chekhov's gun. It's got to be shot. Oh, in T-minus 2 seconds, it was very fast. Like, she hides behind a dead body. All of a sudden, you know, it's like with an axe. And then all of a sudden, you're like at on a buzzsaw table. Okay, great. And now her beautiful white dress, Yaz, is now covered in blood.
Yeah.
Like a beautiful, beautiful, you know, Carrie, you know, christening.
Yeah, as a good final girl should be. When you got that white dress on, you know it's about to turn red. And the children, the Malfoam children we mentioned, have no problem eating him in 0.2 seconds, like just on there. They are hungry.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we don't eat enough. No. Just eat, like, start eating his fingers and gnawing his hands off. Super beautiful. And then Carl tries to find Yasmin now, too. They have an elevator standoff in this creepy old-timey elevator thing that's just...
And it looks real bad for her. Like, it looks like there's really no way for, out for her. But actually, Ava ends up saving her life and shooting Carl. And so she's, you know, running away, trying to get to the car, like, in this state of complete shock. But, like, all she has is, like, if I can just get to the car, it's going to be fine. But realizes that she doesn't have the car keys.
But the keys are still with one of her friends because they were in their pockets. And so she's got to go back to where her dear friend Alex is salted.
Yes.
Assaulted. He's in the salt whatever bin. And his clothes are not too far by. And she goes in through the pockets and finds these keys. But.
Yep. She's not done yet. I mean, the hits just keep coming. And now Gilbert is there to have a girl on girl mud fight where they're just, it's just gnarliness. And, you know, it's just for blood. And, you know, you have Ava who is standing off to the side here, who you have this new woman that she really wants to protect. And, but there's also, this is kind of her sister over here, even if the sister is monstrous to her. So like what side are you on?
And she decides to help side, you know, with the woman who's also with child because she feels a real special kinship. And I think she really wants to help protect the baby. Like, that's kind of her thing, is always protect the children, protect the children. That's like where her whole kind of like through line is at. So she ends up surviving, like, actually. But in the midst of that, they have like a standoff kind of at the OK Corral kind of moment where they're in this old timey, you know, like, I don't know, what to even call it, like the shed, basically, where a lot of stuff happens out on the side of the house, or like a barn house, and ends up like hiding behind a bunch of shelves. But this room is not set up for shotguns to be shotgunning. And all of a sudden we get an explosion.
Yeah. Yeah, big time explosion. But everybody, and then they're out. And so we have
Roberta survives, Gilbert survives. Yeah. And you're like, oh no, she survives the explosion. And so does Yaz. And so they have to fight again outside.
Yes. And we have, this is how, you know, this is how extreme we have this final girl moment, because Yaz is so far gone. She just rips out Gilbert's throat with her teeth. And I'm like,
and she bites her neck out.
That's. Yeah. One way to do it. Like, that's how far she's willing to go. Because she's
out of weapons and out of time. And she's like, I got the keys. There's a car. And that's it. And then, of course, at this beautiful moment after she's finally beat this boss, and she tries to get Ava to go with her. And Ava's like, no, I have to stay with my children. I can't leave here. Rain starts coming down on them to baptize her again and clear off the blood and cleanse her a little bit. She hops in the car, starts driving down an old family, that old country road, and of course there's a little barricade of police.
Yes.
And she gets out of the car, raises her hands up, she's got a bloodshot eye, she's wearing that crazy white dress,
she looks twang
head
as fuck, her
eyes look like they're crossed, and she raises her hands up in surrender,
and that's the end. So credits. I think it's this really, you know, this full circle of, you have in the beginning of this movie is she's running away from the police. And then at the end of this movie, she's like running towards the police. They're her savior and like they're there to help. And she's, you know, we have her when she's driving just screaming. So she's, you know, and this is one of those final girls where like, oh no, like you're never going to recover from this. And it's a terrible, terrible thing she went through. And you think about it again, it's like 48 hours of your life or whatever. That's just going to like wreck the rest of your entire life. I love how hardcore this movie is. Like, it's just
so hardcore.
intense.
And that last moment too, like she's like the whatever I think was on the radio and like on the news in the car or whatever too. It's like talking about the right wing candidate, you know, on the news and like this authoritarian leader and like all this, all these things you're getting at the same time of just like, what kind of world have we created and like, what are people fighting for and what is still festering in the world? Mm-hmm. Just like so many good questions.
Ugh, but anyway. I also do get the sense that at the end of the movie that she is going to keep her baby. Do you get that sense?
That's the only thing she has. Right. Yeah. I feel like that's like literally everyone around her is gone and mowed down by this. Like that's probably all she's clinging to right now.
Okay. Oof. So let's do some gore factor. I wonder what it'll be. Number one, not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. Two, a puddle of blood. Three, enough blood to go south the average viewer. Four, a bathtub of blood. Five, a run for the barf bag. A five, 100%.
Wait, this is a five?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You sure? Okay. Yeah. Full five from like the beginning of the movie, but also like, you know,
it goes far.
It goes pretty far. Yeah.
This is probably not one that you want to show like a horror newbie. This is maybe like slightly more advanced.
No, this is not an entry level. This is definitely not entry level horror. This is, this is advanced placement. This is an AP class, guys. All right, let's get into movie ratings then. Chainsaws, one if you're desperate. Two, barely qualifies as a horror film. Three, seen worse, seen better. Four, not too shabby. Five, Fantastic Oracle. You got to give us one a full five.
Yeah.
This movie has everything. Blood, guts, gore, death, twang girl, Nazis, and mayhem and pandemonium. I don't know. It's everything. It's insane.
Well, you know what? This is an all around five then.
All around five. Air horn.
I think, you know, Karina Tessa is one of, as Yasmin, is one of my favorite final girls because she just, you know, as an actress, you see her in the beginning where she's already sobbing and crying over her brother's death. And she's so far, so high, you know, at like a 10 already at the beginning. Like, how is she going to, where is she going to go?
You're like, I think that's what was so captivating about this movie, too. I was like, I honestly didn't know where they were going to go next. What turn it was going to take. I didn't know what country they were going to be in next. You know what I mean? Like they could have taken this like 20 different places. Huh. The fact that it was just like out in this countryside for most of the movie. Do you know what I mean? Though like but you still feel like you're going on a mad journey and you honestly, because there's so many different levels and layers from the underground spaces to like, that's already terrifying. It was like from one terrifying room to another. Mm-hmm. It was like the pig pen, like this gas chamber thing, like every place you went, even the girl's creepy doll bedroom. Do you know what I mean? Though you're like, you could die in there. Like that room is also awful. Like every single one. So kudos to Xavier Jean.
Yeah, really a killer film and really a lot of fun if you're a gore hound. So if you're sickos like us, this is your kind of film. So next week, we're going to talk about a movie that neither one of us have seen, but are very interested in. This movie comes from Japan from 1969. This is one of my favorite horror titles I've ever heard, which is Horrors of Malformed Men. Pretty good. Pretty intriguing.
No, it's a great freaking title. I was like, yeah, when you pitched this, I was like, yes, we need to cover that. That sounds amazing.
So I have no concept of what I don't think I've ever seen, you know, 1960s Japanese horror before. So I'm really excited to see where it goes. No,
we've seen a lot of fun other stuff from Japan from that era, but not horror. So I'm very excited to watch this with you. We'll talk about it next week. You guys check us out in the meantime on the internets. We're all over there. We're on, you know, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook for you guys. We even have a Patreon. You can support this lovely, sweet, homegrown podcast. We work so hard every week. And our amazing producer, Sierra, who's been doing such a great job editing for us.
Yay.
Help us support like all of our whole team. We would love that. You can also do that by getting some merch. We love it when you thank you so much. Some of our fans have been sending us some cute pictures of you guys. We got to post some of those too in the merch modeling for us. We love it. Check us out all over. We can't wait to talk with you soon next week for Horrors of Malformed Men.
Oh, that voice though.
Just for you.